Do you feel like your business is running your life instead of the other way around? I'm Roy Castleman. I've built multiple seven-figure companies, worked across continents, and coached high-performing entrepreneurs. But I've also been completely burnt out. At one point, I was barely seeing my daughter, drowning in stress, and one step away from walking away from it all. That's when I made a decision to build a business and a life that works for me. The journey became Elevate 360. A system to help business owners reclaim their time, find their energy again, and get back in control without sacrificing growth. And this podcast, Power Movers, is where I share real stories behind that shift. Each week, you'll hear from entrepreneurs, founders, and leaders who've walked through the fire and come out of the other side with clarity, courage, and a system that works. If you're ready to build a business that gives you more life instead of taking it away, you're in the right place. Okay, today I am so super excited. I've got Kathy, and Kathy's joining us. Kathy is the Worm Lady, yeah, and she's a yoga teacher that does focuses on laughing. And yeah, I'll let Kathy introduce herself a little bit more because yeah, just love how she sounds. I love what she's standing for. And let's go on the entrepreneurial journey. Kathy, please tell us about worms.
Yay, thank you, Roy. I'm excited to be here. So my working title is Kathy Crawley Laughing Bean Queen. It doesn't fit in my business card.
Fair enough. Yeah.
So yeah, I offer simple solutions for today's challenges. Worms for amending the soil, worms in the house, who doesn't want that? Sprouts for eating, grow your own, and laughter for overall health and wellness. That's me in a nutshell, but unless you're allergic to nuts.
For sure. So you've come on an amazing journey, I'm sure. And I'd like to dig in there a little bit. I'd like to go all the way back to 18-year-old Kathy. Tell us a bit about what you were doing then.
Yeah, so I'm in Canada, located in north of Toronto, but I'm from Toronto. And yeah, you know, my entrepreneurial journey was by accident. Okay. I'm an accidental entrepreneur just because I saw a solution. So I was a secretary, actually. I grew up in the 60s. And the message that I got was that women could be like five things. Let's see if I can name them. Secretary, waitress, stewardess. We can't even say these things anymore. They're like flight attendant, server, nurse, and teacher. Okay, so yeah, I did it. So I was like, okay, that's a limited list. Of that list, I'll be a secretary. And I took all those courses, like keyboarding, like how typing, how wonderful, what a great skill to have today. Shorthand that you don't really need, business English, all the courses. And I really thought that was going to be my lot in life. And I was a great secretary. I would change jobs every year because I would get bored. And they used to say, you have to have a job to get a job. But that didn't make sense to me. So I would quit my job and then just get another job because I was that good. And I knew, right? It's called confidence. Like it's what you believe is what's true for you. And that's what I believed. And then I was getting my psych degree. And I was only going at night because that's when I wanted to go. It took me 15 years. Stay in school. You'll get there. Time goes by. I didn't care about the paper, by the way. I just loved learning. Yeah. And I loved going at night because the people you meet at night school are, they want to be there. They're paying their own way. And it's just a whole different demographic at night. And in 2000, I graduated. I got a job at a group home working with challenged adults. And I was like, oh, this is what I was meant to do. Oh, it was so beautiful. I really loved it. I really love working with challenged people. I really love it. But I couldn't work with management.
This is the problem of the entrepreneur. We are not employers.
That's the truth. Don't tell me what to do. I know what to do. Before I get into my social work, in 1993, I bought a house and moved out of Toronto. And a teacher friend asked me to look after her worm bin for the summer. I'm an avid gardener and composter. So I knew the value of the worm compost, but I didn't want to have worms in my house. But I took on the challenge I think people are so quick to tell you, oh, you won't like that. Just give me a list so I can save my time. All right, but I think that we should try things for ourselves because you might not like it, but it might be just the thing for me. And that's what happened. Not that year. I looked after the worms, and I think the universe is a fascinating place where we get all these like little breadcrumbs, but we can't track them until we look back.
Yeah.
Like looking forward, there are no crumbs.
For sure.
So that was my first introduction in 93. I took on the challenge. Ugh, it was horrible. I would open up the lid, throw the food in, close it, because I didn't want
Yeah, I'm
any.
a little bit of a worm novice, yeah. And having worms in the house, that sounds a bit strange to me. And I don't mind worms, yeah, no problem with them. But just for anyone that might not know, a gardener get worms, and in South Africa we just had worms, in the we didn't really go and purchase and buy worms, so.
Yeah, they're not internal worms. They're in the house, but they're not in the body. Those are different worms, and there's medication for that.
For sure.
So this is indoor composting. What I'm talking about is worms in the house to manage your food scraps and paper.
Okay.
They're not free range. Worms that roaming around the house. No, not that, not like that. They're in a container, a Rubbermaid tote or some kind of plastic bin. Just like composting, you need a carbon nitrogen mix. So the carbon that we use is shredded paper, could be leaves, straw, cardboard, any of your paper materials. And the nitrogen is your food scraps.
Okay.
The worms require both. They eat it all, and their poop is the black gold.
Cool.
So I started my business as a waste man. Oh, so that was the summer. Okay, so I looked after the teacher's worm bin. It was horrible. At the end of that summer, I had big gloves. I wanted the compost. I didn't want to do the process. But I put on big gloves, kept the worms alive for my friends, separated the worms from the compost, and I said, I'm never going to do this again. Come on, this is ridiculous. Fast forward to the group home. They had 10 homes and a farm, and they didn't compost. When I spoke to management about composting, they said we don't need fertilizer because we have cows. So I was like, as an entrepreneur, we see a solution. We see something. And for me, I saw food waste. Because I was an avid gardener and composter, food waste is a resource for me. I'm like, wow, that's something I can put in my garden. I can use that instead of chemicals. I can grow my food naturally. And wherever I went, I could see food waste. I would never go on, I was never, if somebody paid my way, I would go. But I'm not interested in going on a cruise just because I know of the volume of food waste. I couldn't stomach it. I couldn't even imagine going and supporting that. That's just me. Okay, so when I spoke to the management about, the worm, well, about composting, the greenhouse manager said, what about vermicomposting? Oh no, Roy. Have you ever done something that you're like, yay, you're all excited, other than having the conversation with me that I hope this all goes well? Where you're like, oh, I can't wait, this is going to be great. And then it isn't great, where it's just, oh. And you decide, oh, okay, I tried it, I'm not doing that again. That's what happened. And then somebody says later on, hey, Roy, why don't we, whatever it was. And you get that feeling in your stomach, like, no, I did that. That, no, thanks. That's what happened. But I came home from work. I was like, wait a minute. It's an institution. They're not getting worms anytime soon. They have to have meetings, decide if it's a good idea. Do they have the money? All the things. I came home and I started to do research. Because I had that original introduction to the worms 7 years prior, this was my second introduction. And I discovered the magic of these worms, these composting worms. They eat half their weight per day in food scraps. They turn garbage into black gold. They have five hearts each. What? Wow. And my ew of worms turned into awe. Wow. And I further learned that a pound of worms and their descendants could transform a ton of organic waste in a year. And wow, and that the average family produces a ton of organic waste in a year. So I was like, oh, every family needs a pound of worms. And I'm the one. I'm going to put a pound of worms in every house. I was like, this is great. This is fantastic. So I had a new inspire. I guess I was like, oh, this is exciting. Again, back on the back burner because I'm still working. Okay. Then I got internet work. because the universe is an interesting place.
Yeah.
I got injured at work and I was a freelance behavior management specialist. It sounds impressive, doesn't it?
Oh, that does
Yeah. Yeah, sure, I'm important. It didn't fit on a business card, just like my new title.
There's a theme going on here.
Right, I need bigger business cards, like poster size. I lost my way.
You got injured at work.
I got injured at work, and so I was like, oh, what am I going to do? This is not cool. I came home from work, and there was an ad in the paper, and it said, are you a woman? Do you have a business idea? Yes. And I turned to my husband. I said, I'm quitting my job. I'm taking this course. I'm going to start a worm business. Won't this be fun? And it was, and it is. And full disclosure, I don't believe I would have had the courage to start my business if my partner wasn't gainfully employed. I have incredible, what do I want to say? I feel r tremendous respect for people that start a business that are like, especially single parents that go, okay, I have to look after my children. I don't have a job. I think I'll start a business. Wow, because that it's hard.
Yeah, for sure. And that, yeah, there's this piece that I like to talk about generally, which is that moment where you said, I'm going to start a worm business, because that's when that's your birthing as an entrepreneur. Because you're in gainful employ, you're there, life is actually pretty easy. Somebody's going to feed you every month through your work, obviously. And then you decide, okay, I'm going to step out of this and I'm going to go into the unknown. And there's only 1% or 2% of us in the world that do this, right? There's so few of us that do it, but there's 97% of people that say, I've got a good idea, I'm going to run this business, and everyone dreams about it, but so few actually step out and do it, right? And for me, that's why entrepreneurs are such an awesome breed. That's why I'm looking after them, and that's my whole mission, is how do we make entrepreneurs well again and give them time and live the life they love. Because we make the world a different place. We go out and we solve problems. We fix things. And you started, let's go and fix the world's composting problem. And then tell us how that journey went and tell us a little bit more about that kind of journey.
Yeah, so the landfill for the Greater Toronto Area closed in 2002. Canada's a pretty large country, second largest in the world, and we couldn't find a place to site a new landfill. So we started to export our garbage to the US. And I joke, I do a lot of school workshops, and I joke and I say, shame on us as Canadians for shipping our garbage out of the country. Double shame on the Americans for accepting our garbage for cash. And then everyone laughs, huh? And then that's the end of the joke. It's not even funny because it's our planet. There is, people look at, oh, we'll just send it away. It's away. Like, where's away? There's no away. Here's away. We're in a way. This is the environment. We're in it. So making it someone else's problem is still my problem. And I back to Toronto, 6 million people in the Greater Toronto Area, half live in condos, townhouses, places without the opportunity to compost. And I understand that not everybody that has the option does it. I know, but they could if they wanted. If you live in an apartment, there was no option until I came along. And so that was my whole idea. I'm like, oh, this will be great. And I was like, everyone needs this, without realizing that people don't buy what they need, they buy what they want. And they didn't want what I was flogging. They took.
Three of my companies are IT companies, and it is one of those not so easy things to sell, right? Everyone knows they need it. They actually just want it to work, and they don't want to be worried about all the rest of it. And I'm guessing, just a slight guess, going out on the sale of worms might be a bit more difficult.
Just
Or
sometimes.
initially, anyway.
Right? Yeah. The word worm has a really negative energy. Computer worms, they're bad. Parasites, the worms in your belly, they're bad. Like, the worm is just a bad, it has a bad juju. And people, I with a psychogram, fascinated by people. And I was exhibiting, and I really have discovered that people might have been traumatized as children by worms. Like, after a rainy day, someone chased them around, or a fishing incident, the green goo. So if you were traumatized as a child, you're not looking as an adult for a solution in that you were traumatized by. So you might not, I hope you stay tuned if that was you as a child. Keep watching or listening. Yeah, so there was that barrier to overcome, and I realized, oh my gosh, this is going to be harder than I imagined because people don't buy what they like. I was like, oh, you need this. And I'd have a table wherever I could. In 2002, I was exhibiting everywhere. Okay, you need this. And I'm high energy and I'm animated. So walking along, maybe insurance beside me and mortgage broker on the other side, like boring.
And where's the
And
middle?
then here I am in the middle. Yay, woo. Oh, who's this with her big energy? Oh, let's go see what she's got. And then when it's like worms, oh, the people would hold their children like, oh, Jimmy, it's dirty. It's, oh my God, now Jimmy's afraid. Now Jimmy's traumatized. Quit it. And so I realized I needed to come up with another strategy. What am I going to do now? And I decided to take on school workshops, probably because my teacher friend had a worm bin, right, in 93. So I was like, oh, maybe I can do school workshops. And over 100,000 students have seen my presentation, Roy.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
Isn't that, doesn't that just fill you with pleasure?
Oh, it fills my heart. It's my favorite piece because, again, in the urban jungles, like where it's just concrete. Some of these children have never even seen a worm, never mind held it before. And it's so scary. And it's such a beautiful pleasure. At the end, I do my talking about the worms and I take questions throughout, which is gives them a little power to ask their questions. And I'll say, you can ask me questions as we go through, but make sure it's a question and not a story about worms. Oh, on the way to school today, I saw a worm. Don't know. Is it a question? Because then everybody wants to tell their story about winsome. Okay, so there's all kinds of lessons that are in my session. Then, if the school, hopefully, they're getting a worm bin, because sometimes they just have me come in and talk, which is entertaining, but it's not really that educational until they get the product. And then they're like, oh, wow. And then the children get to see a worm bin from setup to harvest during the school year, which is their banana peel disappears. What? Wow. It comes, what? It turns into soil. Come on. And then the grand finale is holding the worms. And there's so much trepidation. Oh, they want to. And so I go around. I make sure that they're comfortable. I tell them, like, they don't have teeth. They can't hurt us. If they poop on you, it's good
I've
luck.
got 5 hearts there. Yeah, they love you.
They've got 5 hearts, right? That when I put in the 5 hearts, words have energy. When I say worms have 5 hearts, people are like, they soften. They're just like, wow. I don't know what that means, but it's just, wow, that's cool. So it's so beautiful. And I've had the privilege, because I've been in it for so long, of and I, before 2020, I was doing between 100 and 200 gigs a year, workshops, talks, wherever I could be, I would be. And I've met students that I was in their, say, grade three class. They come up and they're like, oh my gosh, Kathy, you came into my grade three class. And maybe they say because of you or because we had worms, whatever they say, probably because of me. I went to university and now I studied environment. Now I'm an environmental lawyer. What? Now they're advocating for the planet. Wow.
It's amazing to me, talk about people smiling, and you're a smile advocate as well. And you go outside, you walk down the road, and you smile at one person, and people don't smile so much anymore. And you look at them in the eye, and you smile, and they smile, and then they go to the next person, they smile. And there's this ripple effect that happens, the stone in the pond. And this, we can choose the life that we want to live, and we can choose to live the life happy, or we can choose to live the life sad. Yeah, but also we can choose to go out and have an effect on a range of people, and you've done that. You've changed so many people's lives. So, yeah, for the good of the planet, but also just having that bit more of the knowledge. And this to me is the essence of an entrepreneur. How can you go out and make the biggest change you can around the challenge that you see the world's facing?
I loved what you said there. I think we do have a choice, and we seem to be stuck in this negative, like that we revere the negative story. That, oh, you think that's bad, and then we all spiral down. Ooh, and everyone's telling their horror stories. Imagine if we spiral up instead.
There's an amazing book that I've read a number of times. It's been formative in my life, called The Four Agreements. And it talks a lot about this. And yeah, just bringing that positive energy to every day. I can't change what this politician says or what's happening in that country. I can change who I speak to today. I can affect the people's lives that I have direct contact with. Yeah, so I'd much rather go and do that than go on a rally somewhere. And I know that might be a little bit, not PC, but what can I do today Yeah, that can make a difference. And yeah, tell us a bit more about how you went from one worm. Oh, was it one worm? Was it one bucket? Tell me about your first worm. Yeah, the first time you bought a worm after saying, I'm never going to have those again.
Yeah, so it was a process. Like worms eat half their weight. So as I was, my worm farm was growing, I wasn't producing enough food.
Okay.
I didn't have enough scraps. So then I had to go and get more food, like asking my neighbors, hey, can I have your scraps? And then I was like, hey, let me. I know, can you imagine begging? Oh, I'll take your rotting food. Well, here, weird girl. Then I started to do some wonderful research projects. In the town that I live in, we don't know how to make coffee. So we had nine coffee shops, and it's a small town. It's a small town. We just don't know how to make coffee, I think. And there's four named after the hockey player, Tim Horton, which is just a franchise. Four of the same franchise, can you imagine? So I was like, oh, I heard that coffee grounds were great worm food, and it doesn't smell, it doesn't attract fruit flies, you don't have to chop it, it's ready food, it's all pr prepared. So I was like, oh, this will be great. I went to one of the outlets, the Tim Horton outlets, and I said, and I chose media as my marketing strategy, so I'm known in my little town. So I went in and said, I'm the worm farmer in town, and I'm wondering if I could collect your coffee grounds. Like, you don't need them anymore. And they were like, dancing around. Oh, no, we're not sure. Huh. And they said, we have to talk to head office. Okay, I'll come back. I went back. I ended up going back four times, where I'm pretty persistent.
I
And each time they were like, oh, they were probably like, oh, here she comes again. What are we going to say this time? And so they said each time, oh, we haven't talked to head office. And I was like, you talk to head office every day. Come on. They're the boss. Head office is the boss if you own a franchise. Okay, fourth time I went, they were probably like, okay, come on, she's going to keep coming until we tell her something. So they said, there's a written policy that our coffee grounds have to go in the garbage. And I, again, at schools, I teach for entrepreneur programs. So I'm like, imagine that meeting. Okay, everyone, this is important. We're creating literally tons of waste. What can we do with our coffee grounds? Come on, people, we want to go home. What can we do? And someone came up with the idea. Hey, why don't we throw them in the garbage? Why don't we just throw them in the. Yes! Okay, somebody capture that because we don't want to forget. Like, what? There's no other creative solution. Come on. So I said, wow. And I thought in my mind, wow, I really want to see that policy. Like, really, it's a written policy? I couldn't believe it. But anyway, I left there thinking, wow, I guess all the coffee shops are going to have this written policy. So four, that's four. So I had five options still. There was a new coffee shop that was on the wrong side of the street for rush hour location. It was on the wrong side for rush hour. Like you would have to make an awkward turn coming out of there. So I was like, oh, I'll go there. So I went there. We didn't happen to have a bus at the time. We do have a bus now. So I went to this proprietor and I said, I'm the worm farmer in town. I wonder if I could collect your coffee grounds. And I said, like, it was a beautiful new location on the wrong side of the street, so not very busy. So I said, the environmentalists are going to flock to your shop when they find out you're being responsible for your waste. They're going to ride their bike. They're going to bring their to-go mug. They will take the bus. No, there's no bus. They won't. But they will carpool. They will get here somehow in a ecological way. And so I guess he was like, oh, she's going to increase my business. Okay, so he agreed.
Love
So from the slowest shop in town, I went every single day, and I have no idea why I needed to provide buckets because they have lots of buckets, but I brought buckets every day. I supplied everything they needed, and I collected 1,000 pounds of coffee grounds in one
Wow.
month from the slowest shop in town. So I was like, what is the big guy doing? What are they doing? Wow, holy. And it was fascinating. That month was really amazing. So there was the filter. They gave me the filters and the coffee grounds, which the filter is paper, but I was separating. My backyard smelled like a coffee shop. So it's the beginning of my business. I didn't have much business, so I had lots of time to separate the compost, the coffee grounds from the filters. So I was separating, and things were going really fast. And someone said to me, you know your coffee ground project? And I was like, yes. And they said, do you wear gloves? And I was like, no, why would I wear gloves? And they said, have you heard of the nicotine patch? And I was like, oh, caffeine careening through my veins. Oh my gosh, no wonder I'm having heart palpitations and I can't sleep and I'm racing around like already pretty high energy. And then I was like, oh my gosh, that's really dumb. That's dumb. As an entrepreneur, we often don't have a safety net. We don't have benefits. We don't have all the things. So I said, okay, wow, thank you for that, person. So I wore gloves after that because it is important that we take care of ourselves.
100%,
And during that summer, gardeners wanted what I had. They wanted the raw coffee grounds for the acid-loving plants. The ro roses, blueberries, azaleas, these are all, they prefer acidic soil. And coffee grounds, adding coffee grounds right in the soil makes it acidic.
So did you ever get Tim's coffee grounds?
Oh, I never did. I never did. No.
Shame
They
on them.
refused.
Shame on them.
Oh, that's why when I speak on Canadian podcasts, I don't even say the name. I because Tim Horton was a hockey player. So I say the franchise named after hockey player, and everyone knows who I'm talking about. I say that he shall remain nameless. It's owned by a Brazilian company now, anyway. It's not Canadian anymore, anyway.
So now that we go a bit further on and your mission and your vision is to get a kilo of worms into every house. And what were the stages? So you got over. I love this idea or the concept that you're bringing forward here. It's not an easy journey as an entrepreneur. It's never an easy journey. So many people come to us and they say, I've got this great idea for you, Roy. You can just do this. And you can have the most amazing product in the world or just a widget, right? And it takes the same amount of work to get both of them. It's that entire thing. You can grow a business when you have five people working for you. That's a big sticking point, right? When you grow again, when you get 10, 15 people, suddenly that's another sticking point. And we all start this journey together. We are everybody. Everyone's got an organizational chart of their big company. But when you start as an entrepreneur, we are everybody. And you have to do all these things. And you have to be the salesperson. You have to be the marketer. You have to be the person that does the accounts and delivers the product and has all the vision and the ideas. And then we hire somebody, right? We hire the first person, our first hire. I'm sure you can remember your first hire after you got your husband to do a whole bunch of stuff. And then the first hire comes in and you just give them everything you don't like, right?
They run.
And then they were, well, I've had a few run, but and then slowly but surely you learn the process of how to grow and scale. So how was that part of the journey for you?
I decided that I didn't want to have employees.
Okay.
I wanted to remain small. So it is just my husband and I. And so again, back to the universe, how what a jokester. So our landfill closed in 02, and then we had a garbage strike in 02 in the summer. And right, I chose media. So I was watching the news, and people were lining up for hours to drop off their garbage, right? It's smelly mess. You want to get rid of it. But I was like, those people don't compost because if you compost, it takes the stink out of garbage. Like, we're busy people, really. You're going to line up for 3 hours just to drop off your garbage? Nothing better to do? And so I went on a road trip. But prior to that, I sent out press releases to the Toronto outlets. 5 minutes after sending a press release to the Toronto Star, largest paper in Canada, a reporter called me and he said, thank you for your press release about indoor vermicomposting. He said, last week I wrote an article about composting and forgot about the apartment dwellers. When you're done at the transfer station, can you come down to the Star? I want to interview you. So I was like, yay, how wonderful. I could have went right to the Star, but I have a psychogram, I'm curious. So I went to the transfer station. That was fascinating in itself. I don't even know if I would do, I would, but I don't even know if I would do it today. Because it was, I was in danger. I would say I was in danger because there was 80 to 100 picketers. The mob mentality, safety in numbers. They're not an individual when they're in a group.
For sure.
And people were, you know, what saved me was that it was being recorded by a private investigator. And I spoke to him before I went to address the crowd. And he said he was hired by the city in case there was any skirmishes. And I thought, okay, so if something happens, it will be recorded. If I die, at least it will be on record. I didn't think I would die. It's Canada. But the people were very hostile. The mob was really hostile. And I call them a mob because they were had the mob. They were shouting at me. And I held my ground. They were, and I think that the universe was pushing me. I really think that I was divinely guided to be there, to do all the things. And I think for the people in the cars, I was entertainment. Here I was, this girl upsetting the union. Because if everybody composted, let's face it, some of them would lose their jobs. Not all, but everyone's not going to compost anyway. Yeah, so I was asking questions. Do you compost? Why not? Would you if there was an incentive? And what more incentive? The City of Toronto in the 80s gave a composter for $25 or a worm bin. In the 80s, the City of Toronto promoted vermicomposting. Now they don't do anything about composting because we have a collection program now, which they need a certain amount of feedstock to run that system. So if everybody composted, that system would fail. We're ridiculous what we do. Anyway, so then the unions were getting annoyed that I was talking to the people, and they saw that I wasn't going away. So they said to the people, if you talk to this woman or take anything from her, we're not going to let you drop off your garbage. Now they're rolling up their, now they're not talking to me. The people in the cars, I'm not fun anymore. Now I'm in the way. I'm the barrier of them doing their what they want. It's fascinating. I find it interesting. And then the
Into trouble for getting garbage. Wow. Yeah. I know, it's
And
crazy, wasn't it?
I'm totally not a muckraker, even though I obviously don't mind attention, but I didn't want to cause trouble. I'm really didn't I had a solution. I didn't want to cause trouble. So I didn't even talk to the police. I
And
just
that's,
left.
isn't that so true though, right? So often when the solution takes us a little bit off the beaten path, you look at diets and health and I do the Wim Hof stuff, the cold exposure, the breath work, and it's so powerful for so many things, but you can't say anything because you'll be in trouble. You say, oh, this can help cure that. You just can't say that stuff. So it's a very similar thing. We're very guided and we won't go down a negative route, but yeah, taking your own view and opening your eyes and doing something, that's where the power comes from. And when you see something, you had a vision and you saw a solution, yeah, and just taking that solution out, yeah, that's, yes, yeah, hats off to you for carrying on.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, crazy. So I got my first article in the Toronto Star on July 18th, 2002, and I called up my right. Toronto was my market, all those condos, and I called up my husband. I was like, "Yay, I got an article in the Star," and he was like, "I'm on my way home. I just got downsized." Now, 23 years later, I'm like, "Oh, couldn't he have just got downsized tomorrow so I could celebrate my article in the Star like my 15 minutes?" And yeah, so that was scary because we didn't have any income. Like in selling worms by the pound, oh my gosh, what now? But I was in it. So I'd already committed to do it. I had my company name, I had shirts, I was doing it. So that initial couple of years, it's scary in any business because you don't have income, like all the things. It's even scarier when you have something that people don't like.
Yeah, for sure. Computers and worms, right? I do computers, and people like to use computers. They don't like them when they go wrong.
No, they don't. Yeah,
And then
that's
I come
right.
along, and then they're angry with me because that was my lead into business. Well, not really. My lead into business was mushrooms.
Okay, yeah.
I used to work on a mushroom farm,
Ah, beautiful. Love
and
it.
the supermarket mushrooms, not the ones you're thinking of.
Not the magic ones, the
Yeah,
spotted ones.
no. And I left, yeah, left work at 11 in the morning because mushrooms aren't really kind to our sleeping clocks. They want to be picked when they want to be picked. So I'd get down there, they'd be picked, and we'd ship them off to the supermarkets. And then I'd take some mushrooms home. Everyone kept on asking for mushrooms. And I didn't really like mushrooms at that stage, like you say, it wasn't a favorite. So I'd take some home, and then I sold a bit more, and then I sold a bit more, and I ended up selling mushrooms door to door.
Oh,
Literally door to door, and for the first 3 months, yeah. After 3 months, I was doing something like five times my salary selling mushrooms.
wow, that's
So that was it.
amazing, Roy.
So just yeah, we see things that other people don't see, and then we get into them and we jump into them. I feel that we could probably talk for another hour, Kathy. I really think we do. But I want you to think about a couple of things, and then we'll wrap up. In this entrepreneurial journey for you, there have been some stages where you've wanted to give up. What stopped you?
What stopped me was knowing that it was a solution. Everybody eats, like with the vermicomposting, everybody eats, everybody creates waste, And this is a solution. In North America, we've destroyed the soil. Our food is broken. It's way bigger than waste management. I started as a waste management tool, but it's way bigger. People want the end product, and we need the end product, the black gold, so that we can fix the soil. Like in North America, we grow corn, wheat, and soy in acres and acres, hectares and hectares. And if you're monocropping, growing one thing, you need to apply a lot of chemicals so that they can grow and they're not eaten by bugs. And now we're just creating more invade, not invasive. What's the word? Where the chemicals go into the plant now, like glyphosate, it goes right into the plant. And people think if I wash my plant, my vegetables, it will wash off. No, if that's the case, it would wash off in the rain. It does not wash off. And now they're in. So when we're eating that corn or wheat, soy that's genetically modified or sprayed with glyphosate, whatever it's sprayed with, it's in us and it's killing our own biology. We are bugs. We're so marketed to with keeping a sterile environment, but in this sterile world is why we're getting so sick, I believe. Our food's broken, our air's broken, our water's broken, our thoughts are broken, and we're so dependent on the system that we've forgotten how to think critically, how to grow food, how to do all these things for ourselves. And so that's what kept me going, the idea that I did have a solution for so many of our ills today.
How many kilos of worms do you think you've sold over the years?
Oh my
So
gosh.
23 years now, you said?
Yes. Oh, that would be a stat that it would be a great thing to know because I have tracked all of that. I would say, oh gosh, thousands of kilos, I would
And
say.
every single one of those kilos that you sold, every time you have, they create more and they create more. You're saying that you've got a terrible business model because nobody buys worms twice.
That's it. Unless something happens.
The other side of
Unless.
that, the other side of that is with that, you're actually magnifying your good.
That's it. People ask me, this has been asked many times, can this be scaled up? I went into business thinking you need worms and you need worms and you need worms. I'm like Oprah, everyone gets worms. Of course, it can be scaled up, but because we're dealing with a living creature, you need a certain environment. It's got to be a certain temperature and a certain inputs. It's got to be more alkaline than acidic. And you balance that with eggshells or with calcium carbonate. It needs to be a certain moisture. So if you're, say you're managing all of Toronto's organic waste, probably one part's going to be too hot. Because if when you get all that organic matter, that's fuel. It's super hot. What I didn't talk about was my grocery store collection. Like the coffee waste, I collected grocery store waste from a mom and pop size grocery store, not a super center, just like a small. And I collected 3,300 pounds in 1 month.
I used to work at a supermarket, and when I was a kid, I used to work at the supermarket in the fruit and veg department. So I know exactly how much, what waste there is. It's a huge amount.
A huge amount because somebody, you probably at the time, were taking away the rusty apples and the rusty lettuce, right? Because you don't want that on there. You need to keep it beautiful for the customer.
The worst thing is ever potatoes that go wrong. I tell you.
Oh, pew. Yeah, come on, quit it. When your finger goes through, ah, gross. Yeah, so, it's incredible the waste that we're creating. And anyway, yeah, that's how it
I mean,
works.
back to your point, though, this idea of scaling it, I would come at that from a different angle. Rather than scaling the worms as a product, I would scale the community, and provide this to become a member of the community, the worm community, for example. We'll call them wheedly worms or whatever it is. And then you educate in that community as a paid membership, but you also get some worms. And then, because you're trying to spread your message, right? You're not trying to spread the worms, you're trying to spread the message.
That's it.
And just how do you, if you had communities all over in each country or in each country or wherever, that to me would be, anyway, just me coming up with my business coaching again, right?
That's what I thought. That's what I thought. Every town needs a worm farm.
Yeah.
Every town needs a worm farm, so then it's sustainable. Like you have a candle maker and a stick
And
maker or whatever.
to go back to your idea of the kid, you go and have a, somebody goes and has a talk, and you could do the next multi-level marketing, but we call it multi-worm marketing. But I think we probably have another conversation in a bit, and I'm just kind of conscious that there's so much to talk about and so many things we haven't touched on. So I'd love to do it again. But if you were to give an entrepreneur sitting out there, I love the fact that you stay small, you stay true to your values, and it's not all about scaling, it's not all about
No.
what have you enjoyed about the journey the most, and then we'll wrap it up there.
Oh my goodness, the opportunities that have been afforded me, Roy.
Yeah.
Oh, I was on, I don't have a cell phone. I'll just drop that in. And I still function. Young people stop breathing, by
Sure.
the
What? Yeah.
way. They're like, I was on Twitter. I'm not there anymore. And I saw an organization in Guatemala that was a red wiggler farm. And I just tweeted a link to their website and I said, red wiggler worms are the way, something like that. Within 5 minutes, the executive director of that organization contacted me and said, when can you come to Guatemala? We need you. Wow. So I was like, oh, wow. My ego was like, wow, Guatemala wants me. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. It's a poor country. How am I going to get, they can't pay me. I'm not independently wealthy yet. I can't just go. Again, talking to a friend, she said, I'll host a fundraiser. We hosted a fundraiser. So for people that, for entrepreneurs that have an idea, do it. Like the world needs you. We need more leaders. We don't need more sheep. There's enough sheep roaming around. We need leaders. We need people that will stand up and take a stand. Stand up and take a stand. And I came up with an expression, which is without awareness, action is impossible. And it had to do with my worm. If you didn't know that you could have worms in the house, you didn't have them. And that's bad for business. And that goes with any business. So I would say you were talking about it doesn't matter if you have a widget or you've got whatever, some kind of life-changing solution. It's the same. You've got to do the same work for marketing and all the things without awareness. So you might have the best thing, but if no one knows, they don't know. They're not buying.
Amazing, Kathy, amazing. And thank you so much for joining me. It's been a pleasure. Next time, maybe we'll talk about laughing yoga or something else. How can people get hold of you if they would like to learn more about what you're doing?
Yeah, my website is kathyscomposters.com, and there's tons, 23 years of articles, videos. There's really a ton of information.
Amazing, cool. I will make sure everyone's posted, and I'll let you know when we get this up there. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you, Roy.
For listening to Power Movers, the podcast from All the Power, where our mission is to help business owners reclaim their time, reset their energy, and live the life they love. If this episode sparked something for you, your next step is simple. Take the fit check at allthepower.co.uk. It's a short clarity tool that helps you see where you are, what's getting in the way, and what might be possible if you have the right system. When you're ready, come and join the tribe. Power Movers start with our signature framework called Elevate 360, a system built to help you escape survival mode, create structure, and move forward with power. Just remember, everything we share here is based on real stories, experience, and frameworks. It's not personal business advice. Always speak to a coach or advisor before making big decisions. Because in the end, it's about more than business. It's about building a life that you actually love. I'm Roy Castleman, and I'll see you in the next episode.